Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! It's a miracle!
From the outside, there's a conversation about this game being a revenge game or an opportunity to exercise demons from last year.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to talk to those guys about it. We're a new team, and we're just focused on winning this game this week.
You know, being a football player and having one of those mistakes that's going to linger around, even when my son grew up, you know, got to explain that to him.
Does it bother me? Yeah.
It became personal with me.
End zone, picked off, intercepted by Brisker. Kroski, Merritt, left side, well played by Chicago, ball out. And it's another takeaway. Chicago ball. Caleb takes it, gets a block from Swift, and is in for the touchdown. That's now 9, maybe 10 points off turnovers already. And it's Swift with a catch. And still going. DeAndre Swift veers into the end zone. They needed 4 on third down. They get 55. They're down and 1. Ball's on the ground. And it's recovered by Nashawn Wright. And that is takeaway number 3.
It's a 38-yard field goal try to win the game. Bears down by 2. Moody takes 2 strides back and 2 strides to the side, waiting for the snap. Rain is falling, wind is blowing. The ball put down, the kick is up, knifing its way through the uprights, through the rain, and Chicago! Redemption in Washington!
And the Bears win! Jake Moody, a hero tonight!
Good game, Bears! Never let it rain! Get better!
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is a victorious day, and we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have breaking news on the Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. We are going to take your calls at 1045. So you can call us. You can text us, 312-644-6767. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano are our producers. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. And after what seemed like 83 years, not to use the Titanic references and our own as well, but we finally had a Bears game. They got the full rest getting into the Monday Night Football game. And Ben Johnson pointed to it over and over again, saying that that was going to be his time for evaluation. So not only was this about, I think at least for fans, I know the team's like, oh, we don't care about the Hail Mary. And I get that. Sure, you can say that. But at the same time, this needed to be avenged for those of us who dealt with it last year. And they did that and then some, winning by the same score they did against the Raiders, 25-24. But we did see a different Bears team. They had two objectives that they wanted to improve, Ben Johnson told us. He wanted to run the ball more, and he wanted to stop the run better. And by virtue of result, that is exactly what happened. DeAndre Swift, 175 total yards from the line of scrimmage. He ends up with over 100 rushing on the night as well. And I think that may be the most encouraging part of it for me, is the fact that they told you what they wanted to do, and we saw change and a result occur that reflected it. We have not been able to say that a Bears team for a minute.
Ben Johnson scoffed at this idea that his running backs room wasn't good enough. And let me tell you something. The shock on my face when I saw Roschon Johnson enter the game just randomly and take a carry and actually go 6 yards. That's a plus run, by the way. 6 yards down the field as part of a 27-attempt, 145-yard day for the Bears offense on the ground. And Layla, you mentioned he talked about wanting to run the ball. We weren't sure he had people capable of running the way he was talking about running the ball. But here
Roschon,
we are.
Roschon, is that you?
Yeah, no, seriously, though. Roschon Johnson was a special teamer in my mind. Like, he had been relegated to that and only that. And to see him out there and to see DJ Moore get a couple of carries and look good. Look better than he had looked trying to carry the ball before that.
Now, granted, Roschon got as many carries as Olamide Zaccheaus because he had the end around.
Well, the end around is different, though. That's like a different set of plays, if you will. To see Johnson going between tackles and doing things was significant. But really, it goes back to going into the bye, as you said, Layla. Run the ball, stop the run. They hold the Washington Commanders to just 4 yards a carry. That is the lowest per carry output of any team they have faced so far this season. For the first time all season, they outrush an opponent 145 to 124. And Bill, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, not only do they hold him to 3.6 yards a carry, 17 carries for 61 yards, and the long was only 11. I think that's a big part of this as well, is that they had a more explosive run as far as the long with DeAndre Swift's 19 yards on the carry. But the bigger thing to me was they got in there and got a fumble out of Bill. They got in there and they looked physical from start to finish. They were up-tempo, even though they weren't scoring touchdowns. They just looked like the team that showed up on time to play.
Yep, and there's the defense building here. We always ask the question, what's the Bears' identity? What's their identity? And it could change. It could change week to week. Right now, it's forcing turnovers. How many now? 11 in the last 3 weeks?
That's a lot.
That's a wild number. And again, it's early in the game. Jaquan Brisker in the first quarter. First drive, right, for Washington. Cuts in front of Deebo Samuel.
Brilliant.
Right near the end zone. Brilliant indeed. Run, and you know Brisker's like, oh, I'm running this ball, and I'm probably going to be a little bit reckless. Sorry, y'all. That's what's going to happen here. You know, like I was like, oh, boy.
Mark, the way he got tackled. The way he got tackled.
Oh, yeah. I was like, folks, it's on. Throw caution to the wind. Is that the right way to say that? Throw caution to the wind?
Yes.
They played with reckless abandon.
For that moment, and you know what? I hate to say it. You give it to Jaquan Brisker. We know what he's been through in his career. He played a really good game. And you mentioned, like, in the beginning in the open and avenging what happened last year. Didn't you love the fact that Nashon Wright didn't have a great game except for the fact that he did recover the biggest fumble of the game.
He redeems himself in almost every game. There will be some mistake where I'm like, 26, what are you doing?
And then
I'll be like, oh yeah, that was a nice recover there. Like, you did something, you're even Steven, you know?
Yeah, but every time the ball is like, oh, it's going to 26, is there 26? I don't see it going to 29. Tyreek Stevenson side.
No, it did not go to Tyreek Stevenson.
Amazing how much more respected this guy has gotten, Tyreek Stevenson, the last 2 weeks. So his game was of consequence because they didn't want to throw his way.
And the problem with part of being able to evaluate this game is the weather absolutely played a factor. Like, I'm giving Mark hell about being happy about nor'easters, but you can't ignore that the rain did play a factor. But that means that from a strategy standpoint, you have to try to use it to your advantage. And that's what the Bears did. They took advantage of the wet ball. They took advantage of timing that. They took advantage of being able to create more turnovers. I would like to say this, everybody. After week 6 in the NFL, Your Chicago Bears are tied for the lead in turnover differential.
Believe that.
Plus eight. And you know who the other team is, and it's indicative of their record?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes, yeah. So you've got Jacksonville and then the Steelers, Marshall's beloved Pittsburgh Steelers.
They're not my beloved
seven.
Team. I just see teams. I see facts.
You're precious. Okay, is that a better word for you?
Really,
you're precious.
Maybe his like...
Oh, precious.
Yes, his precious Pittsburgh Steelers are precious. Next. But the point is, the previous coach said it. They just didn't do it. But when you win that turnover battle in a positive way, and here's the part that you have to do in addition to that. You score some points off of those turnovers. You don't need to do it every time.
Yeah, they got a
but you need to do
turnover.
It some of the time. Mm-hmm. And then that's how they're able to make this happen altogether. Now, listen, we can get into the sustainability discussion. And Mark, I know we did pointedly last week at Gallagher Way. But in this case, again, they didn't win these games like this last year. Period, paragraph. They didn't do it the year before. And so for the Bears to march down the field like we did, trust not only that the offensive operation is going to work, but even after a missed field goal, have some sort of understanding that the Bears are going to get in enough range to make it easier on Jake Moody, where it was only 38 instead of 48 previously, and have all of that work where you're setting people up to succeed instead of fail. This is territory we haven't been in for a while.
Yeah, and I will say, Layla, while it was ugly at times in this game, and it seemed to be at one point when they make that 33-yard play to a wide-open Luke McCaffrey, and it becomes 17-16.
Oh, that was bad.
And then Jake Moody, who turns out to be the hero, gets blocked after the Bears were forced to attempt a field goal because of a bad snap by Drew Dahlman and maybe even a bad reaction by Caleb Williams. I don't know whose fault exactly that was. And then the 37-yard play by Jalen Lane, Zach Ertz, the touchdown. It's 24-16 Washington. So things felt bad, but I'll take this win any day over the previous one. I don't like, again, I'm going to give you your chance. I don't necessarily want this to be the way the Bears win. And I don't want 9 penalties for 84 yards. I don't want wide open breakdowns in the secondary like we saw. I don't like the Bears having to settle for a field goal after a 6th play by Luther Burden on a deep crosser. I don't like any of that. But because of what we talked about at the beginning of the show, the Bears rushed for 145 yards. As Marshall said, they allowed 124 yards. The Bears were sacked 3 times. And it felt like that was kind of more on Caleb, at least in a couple of those cases. And the Bears had 3 sacks. This is way more sustainable of a way to win. Imperfect, but I'm not breaking out the, I don't want the Bears to win that way. I'll take more of those.
What are you talking about? I want them to win any way bloody possible.
I know, but there is a certain way that we know from Bears history is non-sustainable. 2018. I also talked with you guys. I regaled you guys about the year 2001.
2018.
The Bears won 13 games, and then they were trounced by Philly and nowhere to be found after that.
2018, that coach knew a playbook. One playbook.
Yeah, right. And then you saw it slide after that, so it was not sustainable.
Because everybody else figured it out.
So, okay.
Well, there is a way that is sustainable to win.
Mark, let me walk you through this.
But this was good, so I'm not even trying to go against this.
Let me walk you through this, okay? It's Rahimi, it's Harris, it's Grody, it's a Bears Victory Tuesday, mind you, and we're talking about the Bears
football.
Winning 25-24 for a second straight week. Different opponent, same score. But let me walk you through this. You keep talking about how you don't like the way the Bears are winning.
No.
And how hold on.
This one I was okay with.
No.
I was okay with this one.
Listen, but
I'll twist my words.
You're so jaded because you just know this isn't going to win a Super Bowl, what you're seeing.
Right.
And all I want to do is remind you that we are in the very beginning processes with a new era, a new head coach, a young quarterback, where it's going to look ugly more times than not. Now, it will look better in December, hopefully, than it does in September and October. And I think that's okay. And I think Layla's point is, it's the freaking NFL any given Sunday. You never look a gift horse in the mouth.
This was a good win. This was a good win. There were things about it I don't like, but I am not making... I'll stand by the... That's a lucky win. It's a bad win. It's a non-sustainable way to go about. And yes, it goes down as a win, and it'll look like a gritty win that you have to have in the NFL.
But it's not sustainable wins. It's sustainable style of play. That's what you're really talking about.
Right,
and what I'm
right.
saying is, let the play evolve. Just let the style evolve.
I'm allowing.
I think you're
for
being
it.
Impatient.
Okay,
this is
okay.
A Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday.
Football.
Got all that? It is presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. So, in the word. In the world of the scale that you seal it with the approval, does it get a Dave the Cat paw of approval? Like, do you dip it in wax? Is it a seal? Or are you just checking it? Like, how confident are you is what I'm trying
like,
to ask.
Are you saying, be more specific, like, am I confident going forward? Am
is it,
I confident
is it
with
when
this
you
win?
Say, like, it, when you give it the seal of approval, how intense is your seal? Like, how happy are you with it? You're compared to the Raiders win last time.
Let's say
the fact that I'm talking about this, the Bears have won three straight games for the first time in 5 years, and here we are parsing whether or not
it's crazy.
They lost ten games in a row last year to Washington. I'm not over the Hail Mary.
If we are judging, if we're really doing this,
yeah, we're doing
judging
it.
The degrees of wins. If last week was a 4, this week was a 6.5.
No. If we're doing this, and I'll give you your 4
it's
from last
time
week.
We judge
I have harder standards than you two. You guys just think everything's okay.
I think you have ridiculous standards. How about that? This win was an 8.
I absolutely don't think everything's okay. I thought that the penalty on Theo Benedict made sense. I just thought it was called at the wrong time. I get
formation.
All sorts of flack. Look at the comments on our podcast.
No. But my point here is it's an 8, and here's why it's an 8. I'll lay out why this cannot be a 6.5 on a 10-point scale in terms of quality of victory, the seal of approval, all that crap. They went on the road to a team that played in the NFC Championship last year, and they got a dub. And I know Washington wasn't at full strength. There was no Noah Brown. There was no scary Terry McLaurin. I understand that. But even in the context of that, they were able to come out, first of all, and look better. Now, here's the thing that I'll lean into for Mark here, Layla, and you as well. Let's be honest.
And this goes for you, too.
When they jumped up 13-0,
I'm used to
none
this.
Of us believed that at no point the Commanders would not have the lead in that game when it was 13-0.
Oh, my God.
I just felt like the whole time you're saying there's missed opportunities. The interview at the half with Dan Quinn and Lisa Salters, he says the story right now is the turnovers and the missed scoring opportunities for them. So he knew that. But I always like to say, you know, when we're talking about it, there's how we talk about it, covering it every day, and there's how you talk about it to your friend. And if we had said that all these bad things would have happened for the Bears, you know, let's even continue with a real common issue that even Ben Johnson brought up to the team in his victory speech. If I had told you, Ben, that the Bears had 9 penalties for 84 yards, that they had a missed field goal, that they had a missed 2-point conversion at Washington in the rain, you're not thinking that they're going to win that game. Well, by God, they did. And they did it because they wanted to run the ball better. And if I had told you that they ran the ball with that much effectiveness, that they were able to run the ball with that much power and be able to do so and outrun a Washington team that was first in the league in yards per game, that's when you start to have the differences made.
Okay, 6.75.
He went from 6.5 to 6.75.
He's
trolling us,
Leila.
He's trolling us.
Everybody trolls us all the time. I'm good with it.
A deep purr
as long
from
as
Dave
you can
the
explain
cat
it.
Is what it is. I'm feeling
so not a paw in wax.
If I was a cat, I would be no a light purr today. It would be a nice light purr.
Yeah, Robbie, I feel like that's the right sound effect.
Because I don't want this to get twisted. Like I said, this I'll take more wins like this. I'm okay with like a lot of what I saw. This is not like the Raiders game. This is a better win, but I am going to continue to keep my standards high.
Well, and listen, like I think some of the ball issues were still there. But the bottom line is they won the game.
They did.
Like they
You're
won
right.
the
and
damn
I,
game.
I, honestly, Layla, I love seeing like I am excited to see 4-2. I'm like everybody else looking ahead on the schedule. The Bears, for the first time, the light has gone on for me. Maybe they are a playoff team because this can get better. All of this can get better.
I never thought that I would see the expectation be that I'm more calm about seeing what happened, about seeing the fact that they withstood all of those mistakes and were able to talk about it in this way. That is a huge improvement. We have more to discuss. Don't forget, we want to take your calls at 1045-312-644-6767. If you can't call us, leave a message on our voicemail. That is the Odyssey app. Leave a voice message feature. We call it the Meatball Machine. Your meatballs will play at 125. Our segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. More on this Bears. Let's say it together. Win. The Bears have won three in a row. More on the win. Any way you want to slice it. On Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Swift with a catch and still going. DeAndre Swift veers into the end zone. They needed four on third down. They get 55. Toss to Swift over the right side. Big play. And now down inside the 20.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. It is brought to you by Busey Bank and Great Clips as we break down the Bears' 25-24 win over the Commanders. Your Chicago Bears have won three straight games for the first time since 2020. You know that year that Mitch Trubisky was the MVP, as in Nickelodeon. Nothing comical about this, though, when it came to the way the Bears won. That last-second field goal by Jake Moody. And, yes, DeAndre Swift, a massive part of this. As he went, they went. 108 yards on the ground and 67 yards receiving, 55 of it. That nice explosive run after the catch for the touchdown that he had as well. We tried to figure out what we liked about this game, what we think could be a preview into how the Bears may look for the rest of the season as well. And again, I love that we're talking about the sheer basics of what can help you win a ball game. When your offense doesn't necessarily click on all of the cylinders, it's not hitting on, say, a V12, it's hitting on maybe a really nice VTEC 4. Are you doing everything else you can to try to win the ball game? And that's what happened. We saw good runs. We saw a scheme where the run plays worked. We saw a new left tackle try to help out as well when it came to the Bears trying to do more defined runs up the middle, downfield blocking on screen. And there's a lot to take away from when it comes to how we saw them win this game.
The biggest thing for me is not just the fact that they won this game, but that they looked so much better in doing it than they did the last time out. And we talked a little bit about the bye week and what they wanted to do out of that bye week. But also, I think there's this idea that with a new head coach, things would look different. And to see it actualized on Monday Night Football and kind of go through the back and forth of that, because like I said, when they were up 13-0, I was like, the Commanders at some point will take the lead in this game. This game is far from over. And I think Ben Johnson and his coaching staff and Dennis Allen and playing with the chess pieces that he finally had, when you talk about Kyler Gordon and even having TJ Edwards back, I think made a big difference. And I think this is why I'm very optimistic about the Bears going forward, not just because they have lesser competition coming up, but because they look better as a football team.
There have been glimpses in the 2 years of DeAndre Swift where he has looked really good in some games. Like, we could point to a couple games last year. It's like, okay, I see what we're doing with DeAndre Swift. I want to see that continue. It doesn't have to be this dynamic. I mean, this was terrific. 14 carries, 108 yards. You're getting bang for your buck right there. The 55-yard reception. My favorite part about DeAndre Swift's night was that final drive where he had a bunch of carries, including a 10-yard carry and a 15-yard carry. I would like to see him continue to do that. So that's the big thing. It's like, pick up, okay, do that, and it doesn't have to look that good every week, but some semblance of it has to be built upon.
Now, if you're talking about areas where you say to yourself, this shouldn't be working this way, like this is not something I need to see, the rain did absolutely affect the passing game, and we saw that. But Olamide Zaccheaus doesn't need to be leading this team in targets. Yeah, he led with 6 targets in this game, and if you're asking where the tight ends are, well, the targets when they all go to Olamide, you know, that leaves Colston Lovely with 3 and Cole Kmet with 2. Like, that's something that I would like to see change. But we just know that the main objective, the main thing was the main thing. It was improve that running game, try to build off of it so that way you can have the formations where people may be expecting a pass and they get a run instead. There was a lot of bold calls when it came to crucial downs in the yards after a catch that they wanted on 3rd down, for example. Like, that was something that both teams seemingly didn't care about. Like, they're not necessarily scheming a guy to be ahead of the sticks on a lot of those plays, like where you get the defined 3rd down as soon as the guy catches the ball. I feel like there was a lot of, we're going to make you run for this because we think we can block it. So when it comes to that part of the observation, I feel like that's still a work in progress, too.
Well, I ask this because I look at Olamide Zaccheaus as this kind of safety blanket. It's obviously a target that Caleb is very comfortable with. And so I wonder, is this about that comfort level and just not being there with some of these other players when you talk about the progressions and the reads? I mean, I see the 6 targets, and I see what you're talking about, Layla, but does that speak more so to maybe what the design was this particular week, or is it just the constant that Zaccheaus, going back to training camp, has been that guy
for Caleb Williams? No, he's been his blankie. Like, he's been, if you wonder where all those other balls are going, ask yourself how many times he's being targeted.
Right, because it's not, they have not gotten in a complete rhythm with what ultimately they need to, and that is with the tight ends, with Colston Loveland, who I know had one. He had a 10-yard play on that final drive, right?
Yeah, Colston, but he also had the ball
catch that was
catch for the first down that got called back.
Offensive interference, yeah. But
there were some bad ones, like DJ Moore lined up wrong. You know, that's something. Also, we're continuing to follow DJ Moore, by the way, who had to stay at a hospital overnight in the Washington D.C. area.
Yeah, there were a few rough penalties. Yeah, the DJ Moore penalty on the Kmet first down in the fourth quarter. Already mentioned the Theo Benedet one on the illegal formation on what would have been what was, and then turned away the touchdown to Roma Dunze. You had the Brisker personal foul. He went low.
He dove with the Daniels. Quarterback, and of course you have to hit them not above the shoulders.
It's got to be between the knees and shoulders.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's a very specific target because he was coming from a side view, from a lateral around the end. He dove at him, and when you dive, you're not going to be able to control necessarily where you land on the quarterback. He landed below the knees.
I think the issue was too that on the Caleb Williams run to the left side, he gets met hard by Frankie Luvu. And it looked like there could have been a penalty there based on the fact that the momentum carried Caleb Williams out of bounds. And they always say, and Mike Florio always talks about this, that unfortunately, once you run the ball, you don't get the same protections. And Daniels, for example, was in the pocket. But that refereeing crew lived up to their reputation as being the crew that calls the most penalties per game in the league. And that's exactly what happened. But you do want to at least examine that stuff. Because if you know that you're not getting those calls, then you got to adjust. And that's something that I think the Bears haven't done well enough in the past couple of years. Like, if you are being judged to more scrutiny, you have to at least adjust to it. You know, like Theo Benedet lining up wrong, that was an illegal formation that negated the Roma Dunze touchdown. You know, there are all these little difference makers in the game where, in theory, the Commanders would have never even retaken the lead. You know, that would have been enough to have that cushion to where they wouldn't have been up 17-16.
The worst penalty to me was the DJ Moore lining up offsides, because you can't line up offsides.
Yeah.
That's just something you cannot do, is line up offsides.
Well, and that's a question that we had amongst ourselves, was how long were we willing to put up with those types of penalties while they're still learning a new offense?
I don't know whether to chalk it up to the weather or DJ Moore's injury. Actually, that was earlier in the game. So I don't know, but I think understanding the reputation of the crew, calling more penalties than anyone else, and to survive that, I think, is another layer to why this win deserves more than 6 3/4 or whatever Grody ascribed to it.
All right, maybe I can get to 7 by the end of the show. We'll see. It's Raheemy, Harris, and Grody here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. You want to know another game changer? Like, if we're doing game changers for bad things for the Bears, I mean, you guys mentioned the penalties and the would-be Rome touchdown. And I know we talked about this on Take the North. By the way, Take the North up and running with Raheemy, Harris, and Grody right now, if you want the condensed version of our takes.
That it is.
Yeah. Alameda Zacchaeus in the fourth quarter on a 2nd and 16, and the Bears are backed up, and it feels like hell for the Bears. Like, they're not going to get out of this. We're going to need a big punt from Torrey Taylor here eventually. And there it was. Zacchaeus, what, about a 7-yard slant pass? He couldn't catch it, and he had, as the camera showed, nothing but Bermuda grass ahead of him.
He saw the grass. He should have been watching the football.
Yeah, that was the problem. He was running before he caught the ball.
There is that. Yes. But man, that's just like, as a watching it, it's like, ugh!
Oh, there were some really nicely schemed plays by Ben Johnson and the offensive. I'll give Declan Doyle some credit, sure. There were some really nice scheme plays by Ben Johnson and Declan Doyle in this game where you could say, yeah, if this worked, it would have made sense. But unfortunately, a lot of them didn't work. The good news is enough of them did to where we're talking about this right now.
Robbie, we take a note for Layla. Just gave credit to Declan Doyle. Get that to him immediately, that he has been credited in part.
Does he have a fax machine?
Yes. I'm not sure if he's got a fax machine.
He's under the age of 30.
I don't know how to use a fax machine.
Do you think he knows what the fax machine is?
No.
I'm actually older than Declan Doyle, and that makes me want to cry.
God. Oh, my God. You know what a fax machine is.
I'm just
is.
A baby.
Yeah, this surprises
a baby.
Me. Yeah.
Clearly, Grody does with his ringtone. He knows what a fax machine is.
That's how
is.
I feel about Jake Moody. I was like, he's just a baby.
Yeah, fourth little Moody walking around with his helmet on. Nobody knows who the hell he is. Hey, Jake, how you doing? I'm Mark. Good to meet you.
Also, we did have sacks in this game.
Sack machine.
That's what... Never mind.
We had... Exactly. We had... Jervon Dexter get credited with 1.5 sacks. You go, Jervon.
Yeah.
And Dominique Robinson got a half a sack, and then there was a team sack. And I don't even want to talk about that whole Dominique Robinson and pass coverage thing, because if they had lost, I might be ripping on that for the last 40 minutes or so.
Does everybody get a share of that sack, by the way? Does everybody get like a little fraction? Is it like a team portion when you win a playoff series?
Is it one of those where there was no gain, so therefore it was a sack? Like, was it the RPO where, like, quarterback runs kind of, but it's still qualified?
It's a team lift, you know?
They always say, do your 1/11th, so everybody got 1/11th of a sack.
Did you say team lift?
Yeah.
Team lift? You're talking about a team lift?
I guess
seriously?
That team lift
team
paid off.
Lift.
I guess it paid off. Yes, it did.
Oh, my God. Didn't even realize it. Did you see? The biceps did look good, man. Zacchaeus looks loaded. Look at him, man.
And so I
said DeAndre Swift looked pretty in shape, did he not?
You see those legs? The squats that guy's been doing?
They got those David Robinson arms where it's like shoulder and then nothing and then bicep.
Yes.
The opposite of the Carmelo Anthony arm. I got you. No, but
poor Melo.
It was very fatalist.
He's just out here trying to score.
I know. It's very fatalist that I thought, one, during the Zacchaeus play that you just mentioned where he drops the ball, I thought there was going to be holding in the end zone for a safety. That's just where my mind went, first of all. And then second of all, the team sack, for that to be the first sack of the game, I thought that was ominous. I was like, well, maybe this will be a team victory of some kind. I don't know. But team sack seemed very ridiculous for the sixth sack of the season.
I got a lot to ask about to Tim Jenkins, because I feel like Washington may have shot themselves in the foot with all the RPOs instead of designed runs, but I felt like that was the way to go for the Bears, so that doesn't really answer anything for me.
He didn't know how much improved they would be as far as run defense and how much more sound they would be with their guys back.
Yeah, the run fits, and frankly, welcome back TJ Edwards. Because I think you really saw the difference he made. Kyler Gordon being back as well. You saw a lot more blitz look a lot more of that because he was back. So having those two back was huge. We want to hear what you think. You heard us. 312-644-6767. We got a bunch of callers. You can join in. This is a football day here on The Score. Bears win. We celebrate with Raheemy Harrison Grody and you next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
They're not just believing, but now they're starting to understand that, man, if this thing's close in the fourth quarter, then someone's going to step up and make a play for us. And we had a number of guys here in this fourth quarter that did that. I think these wins sometimes can go more a longer way for your program than those blowouts do. So it was good to see.
That was Ben Johnson talking about their win, the Bears' win over the Commanders, 25-24. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And before we go to the calls, I would like to say that we were complimenting Tyreek Stevenson having a great game yesterday. So I figured we would bring that to the airwaves. When people tried to throw his way, it was met with not a lot of action.
Tyreek Stevenson looked like a man who was on a mission, and rightfully so. That place, probably a house of horrors no longer, because they walked away with a dub.
I didn't even see the man for half the game. Every ball was going in the...
You can't see me!
Yeah, that's right. Going in the general direction, justifiably so, to Nation Wright, who was running a little bit hot and cold on this night. But
even Steven redeemed himself.
Even Steven, man. Yeah, he did. Exactly what I wanted him to do. Just keep doing what you've been doing the last couple of games. This doesn't have to be a story. We don't even have to talk about Tyreek Stevenson.
No, we absolutely should give him his flowers.
Of course you give him his flowers, but we don't have to talk in like about last year now. We could just leave it all alone. He had a good game, and he's had three straight good games now.
And there it is. We just called our own show. So now we give the phones
bless
to you. 312-644-6767. Other people called first, but I'm a jerk and I play favorites sometimes. And you know what that means. Frank and Oak Park. Let's go.
Well, Layla has a favorite.
Guys, great game last night. I'm going to look at a couple of key data points and then a personal emotional impact for me in beating the Commanders. On offense, you plugged in a new left tackle on the road at a very noisy stadium, and it didn't end up with your QB getting knocked out of the game. Not only that, but you had a great day running the ball with 145 on the ground and 381 total. You put up 25 points, and you didn't turn the ball over once. On defense, you held the Commanders to 329 yards. That's 16 under their average. And he got three takeaways. And forgive me, I think they're trimming hedges outside, so you might get a little background noise. The Bears got Edwards and Gordon back from injury, and the better performance was clear. You get some help, and then Washington was down two starting wideouts. And I think from the talk, they were experimenting with at least one of their OT slots. But nevertheless, worked out well. On the emotional side, the Bears did the city a great service by blowing up a narrative. Now we won't suffer under another year of replays of that last-minute bomb loss with the different soundtracks and different slow-motion angles. For the next year, if sports shows want to talk Bears Commanders, they can show zoom-in slow-motion shots of Washington defenders missing tackles. Won't that be nice?
Amen. Thank you, Frank. Thanks for your call.
Frank got me to a 7.
He did. Frank got you to a 7.
Nice job, Frank. Like laying out those numbers and doing it on the road against the Commanders and the hostile environment. And
you mean the same thing we told you?
Well, it just needed. I needed more. I needed constant.
Sometimes you need another voice.
Another voice, exactly.
Okay, let's get another voice. Steve is on the road. Steve, you're on with Rahimi Harrison Grody.
Hey guys, love the show. One quick observation, one question. We are on the road, and on the road in years past, or at home in years past, we get a lead and we give up that lead, and it felt like the team just didn't have the heart to come back. Call it the Ben Johnson effect or good coaching or whatever you want. This team has some fight in it now, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that's great, yeah.
The question I have is, I know it's a small snapshot of Caleb Williams, but I mean, Troy Aikman said last night, I've seen a lot of mailbox arms go up in his small snapshot of a career. Is he not recognizing these deep routes quickly enough, or is he just too conservative to take the shot downfield and just dropping it off to a sure thing? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer, guys. Thanks.
Steve, that's a good request and a good call, because I think we all saw that same route, and I want to say that perhaps the situation and the down distance came into play there, because that was a third down play, was it not?
What are you talking about, the bomb that he threw to Rome?
No.
When Rome the was one, open was, and threw up the mailbox.
It was an RPO.
Oh, gotcha.
And I had a feeling that there would be a lot of those in this game just because of the nature of what they wanted to do. So as I understand, it was keeper option, and then Rome was downfield with enough separation. Aside from the defined throw in the second half where Rome, he did purposely throw it to Rome in double coverage. Rome threw his hand up, and I'd say there was about 3 or 4 yards between him and the defenders. Williams decides to run for the first down. So that's what I'm wondering, if perhaps down and distance came into play there on the decision-making process.
Yeah, that's how I took that. I will say this, watching the replay from behind the line of scrimmage, so looking downfield and seeing him throw the mailbox up, Roma Dumze, I was like, oh, that's a touchdown if he makes that throw.
It's
but
tiny.
I understood why he made the decision he made. I will say this, though. I do think he is too conservative. I think that's one of the things. But I also understand the balance right now. First half of the season, new head coach, new offense, why he is erring on the side of caution. And I'm okay with it as long as they keep piling up wins.
One thing in particular I'm looking forward to asking about Tim Jenkins. 1 o'clock today for Tim Jenkins, our quarterback guru. I want to ask him about some of the things. Because Troy Aikman, I don't know that he was unfairly hard on Caleb, but he wasn't missing a chance to critique Caleb. And I think on the overall, I appreciate it. And one of the things that he kept saying was that he is not putting his wide receivers in a position to make a play after the catch. Yes, he's making completions, but there were times when he made completions where Troy Aikman's like, okay, if you let it loose a little bit sooner or at this point in the route, you're going to put your receiver in a position to succeed and maybe get 10 or 11 yards after the catch. And there was some of that, too, last night, obviously, with DeAndre Swift and the play to Luther Burden, which was absolutely sick at the right time. But I look forward to seeing if Tim Jenkins saw it the way Troy Aikman saw it at 1 o'clock.
Well, and frankly, I think, you know, Aikman's getting a lot of flack on our text line, and I understand, but he is making a lot of points that are valid. Like, I think the harder part would be if you thought Caleb Williams couldn't do those things. But I feel like in that specific play, it was a down and distance judgment. And he wanted the first down, so that's what he had to do. But that speaks to, again, he doesn't like throwing interceptions. You know, and there are times where I feel like that the ball, the designed shot downfield, that was 2nd and 5, I believe.
Yeah, there was a second down.
And that was across the field, and it looked, I mean, I think he wants that, you know, Roma Dunze had so many times where he would just outleap everybody at Washington. He would be in double, triple coverage, and he would get it. You got to respect your opponents on the other side. Like, you can't confidently throw into double coverage like that and expect your guy to be that much better than the other two.
They were all just hanging out, too. I mean, they were hanging out forever. Like, they could have, like, exchanged names and numbers while the ball was being thrown. Like, okay, it is literally a jump ball at this point. And I think Rome and Caleb knew it was going to be that.
And that's nitpicky, but I feel like that he's our caller was right about the mailbox. Like, put your hand up. DJ Moore's done it too. Where guys have been open, and you've got to be okay with taking that risk sometimes. You know, you got to be okay with trying to hit that home run ball. But I get that for him, that might be a balance right now. We have so much more to come on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. We go to our special teams expert, the longest tenured Bear. He's part of the pre and post game show, and he's next. Patrick Manley. Do we have anything to talk about? Maybe a game-winning field goal? I think we do. So we'll discuss that with him next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.